recent episode, but normally I wouldn't care this much. But dude, I've got 1, 2, 3 episodes left in this notebook. And I'm trying real hard to make sure that I've got like the whole thing front to back right. full. Even if it's a ripped up page, I don't care, but it continues on until the back page is done.
Then move it on to the next one.
then we'll grab another notebook. It's 50 cents at back to school time. It doesn't really matter, but it's just a goal that I have in my head.
Nothing wrong with goals, man. You'll be like that John Doe from Seven. You have all these journals and everything.
That's it.
And all of them
are going to say nothing.
Just show notes.
Jerry Seinfeld comedy. It's like, what if nothing were to happen? Like, the guy's just walking across the street and nothing happens. And just have that, like, 10 million times.
Actually, we listened to our show about nothing the other day. That was pretty good.
Some of our shows, this is a show about nothing. This is about to be. I mean, it'll be something, but we didn't talk on the phone and discuss what we were going to talk about.
Just winging it.
It's all about winging. This is episode 54, and this is talking about motivation. And no, we're not being motivational speakers. We're talking about the motivation it takes to be Halloween enthusiast.
To get pumped up.
In our town, in which it is in the middle of October and it's still 90 degrees outside.
It's hard to get into the fall mood.
Your latex melts. Like, all of your last year's Halloween decorations.
Spirit gum stops working.
They're all faded out. Anyway, we're getting to that. Let's get into the history real quick. All right, this date in 1861. Abraham Lincoln suspends the writ of habeas corpus for all military-related cases. Why is this important? Because basically, the writ of habeas corpus, it's fundamental to being American. And what it means is that if you are captured or imprisoned, you have the ability to complain to somebody, to a judge or a higher power, and say, I didn't do anything. I should be able to see a judge and have whatever reason I've been captured at least looked at.
Right.
When he suspends the writ of habeas corpus, then what that means is that you could be out plowing your field, but you happen to be on the wrong side of the line, and they could take you and throw you in a concentration camp. And when you're like, hey, I didn't do anything. Well, tell it to the judge. Okay, bring me a judge. That's what the writ of habeas corpus
yes.
means. Okay, cool. Bring me in front of a judge. Nah, we're not going to do that. And so then you end up dying of dysentery in a concentration camp full of people who are captured for one reason or another.
Right.
It was a really big deal that he did that. Very unpopular, but is what it is. It happened on this date, 1861. 1911, didn't take long. First use of aircraft in war.
That changed the whole scope of the war.
So you've got Daedalus and Icarus. You've got dreams. You've got kids sitting around looking at clouds. And then you've got the Wright brothers come around and be like, hey, look, we can modify a bicycle and it'll actually float. And then, like, not even 5 years later,
We're dropping bombs
on people. Because those birds that you've been watching, they like to poop on people. There is a strategic advantage to that. This date in 1929 is the Wall Street crash of 1929. This is the beginning. Today is the beginning of the Great Depression.
Okay. The Dust Bowl days.
Yep. In lighter news, 1958, the Smurfs appear for the first time in the Franco-Belgian magazine Spiro. Little communist bastards. Little blue communists just walking around being all helpful with everybody, and all their crops are in the storehouse.
A little shout out to Rick over at Hell Ming. I don't know if you listened to the 50th episode.
I haven't yet. It's lined up.
One of the questions they pose is what cartoon world would you like to live in? And he picked the Snorks.
They were
the underwater Smurfs is what they were.
you could meet Aquaman. I'd be down for that. Okay, 1982, a gunfight between the police and the religious cult called the Christ Miracle Healing Center and Church leaves two cultists dead and dozens of cultists and police injured. They didn't make it into our episode, but they're shooting at you from heaven.
You see that? It just got me in the neck.
Okay. October 23rd, happy birthday to Michael Crichton. Jurassic Park, Congo, so many others. 1956, country music star Dwight Yoakam.
Dwight Yoakam.
I'm not a big fan of Dwight Yoakam, except for in Sling Blade.
I was about to say, like, I wasn't until Sling Blade. When he was, his character was hilarious.
He was. He's like telling Billy Bob Thornton's like, you need, he's like, I'm gonna kill you. He's like, well, you better call an ambulance or a hearse. So Billy Bob Thornton kills him with a lawnmower blade, and he's like, hey, he told me I need to call an ambulance or a hearse. Like, this is like straight up, that's badass.
When they do the band rehearsal, when he kicks everybody out, he's just telling them they all suck. It was just hilarious.
Good stuff. You don't see Dwight Yoakam that much anymore, but okay, it's a horror podcast. So 1959, Nancy Grace.
Yeah, it's pretty horrific there.
I don't know.
Bear watching that movie.
I don't know who. Like, somebody was sitting in court one day and was like, this person deserves to be in front of a camera. And then you put her in front of a camera and everybody's just like,
why is she in front of a
camera? Why is she in front of a camera? It's like, even when shit's going her way, she still just looks angry. So angry and like...
She could beat a dead horse, yeah. Can't she?
In lighter news, in 1959, Sam Raimi.
Oh, nice.
So...
The Raimi brothers.
Just like... He had Evil Dead. And that's not as scary as Nancy Grace.
Also, one of the kings of splatter, man. The Raimi brothers just demand so much respect.
Absolutely.
They've been at the forefront of so much stuff.
It's weird because you got Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. And it has been a long time since I've seen Evil Dead 2. Let me dial that back. It's been a while since I've seen Evil Dead 2. But it had been a much longer time since I'd seen Evil Dead 1. And... not too very long ago, I acquired a copy of both, actually. And my gut went with, I need to go watch Evil Dead 2 because it's so awesome, and I need to watch the chainsaw scene and all of that. But I was like, you know what? It's been so long since I've seen Evil Dead 1. I'm going to pop it in there. And the crazy thing about it is that I forgot about... like, it was intended to be a horror movie, and it's... For all of the deadite making noise and the close-ups on Ash's face and stuff being kind of silly, Evil Dead 1 is a lot creepier than the second one.
Yeah, it is.
It's got that like Cabin in the Woods.
Well, the second one's more of a remake, so they're like two totally different movies.
Well, it is. It is. But I don't want to compare and contrast the two. What I mean is Evil Dead 1 by itself, just like as a student film, you don't think of it very much because it's overshadowed by...
Like two.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it is.
It's got when that the, Blair Witch feeling to it.
When the forest attacks that woman, it's a
creepy, good... It's a good, scary creep. And yeah. It does have its comedy elements. I don't want to, like... It's not it or anything. But it definitely has
great
mood.
Movie, man.
It's good stuff. 1959, Weird Al Yankovic.
One of my favorites, man. I saw him live in concert here in Houston several years ago, and just, I love Weird Al. Since I was a kid, I just can't get enough of him.
I think it's on the record even worse. So Michael Jackson had Bad, he had Even Worse. Mm-hmm. So Michael Jackson had Beat It.
He had Eat It.
And then Michael Jackson had Bad.
He had Fat.
He had Fat.
You ain't fat. You ain't nothing.
Yeah. And on that record, there was a song called Melanie. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, I do.
And it's like, meh, heh, heh, Lenny, what can the problem be? And it sounds like a straightforward song. And he's not riffing on any celebrities, so it's one of those that just kind of gets buried, you know, like it gets kind of thrown to the side. But he's like, I love you so much, I've been keeping an eye on you and stuff. And it's like, what's the problem? Like, why won't you go out with me? Is it because I, like, shaved your cat? And, like, all this stuff that's just, like, totally creepy stalker stuff. But I remember it had this, like, pretty melody. So I'm sitting there, like, walking around just being like, yeah, Melody, why are you so mean? And, like, later on, was like, oh.
Now I see.
All right. Ending out the history segment, 1976, Mr. Ryan Reynolds.
Mr. Deadpool.
Mr. Deadpool, Mr. Van Wilder, Mr. Green Lantern himself.
Oh, so much. Played three, been in a ton of stuff. I like Ryan Reynolds a lot. He's a good actor. He's funny.
Oh, yeah. And he's funny on, like, Instagram and stuff. He's got a sense of humor.
And I love the fact that after just destroying the Deadpool character in that Wolverine movie, he made retribution on that one.
Yeah.
And brought it with the actual Deadpool movie.
And I like the fact that he points that out in the Deadpool mm-hmm. movie. Like, hey!
Oh, man. Ready for a little new news?
Yeah, because there's no notable deaths on this day.
Staying alive. Staying alive.
That's it.
Okay. Remember the movie The Mummy they just came out with recently?
The one that everybody hated?
Yeah. It was supposed to bring the Marvel... Universe was supposed to bring the Dark Universe. And, you know, they had kind of Easter eggs in there hinting as to the next movies they were going to do. And they went ahead and they decided to start filming Bride of Frankenstein, which was going to be the next one. They've already kiboshed it.
Oh, really?
Because The Mummy did so bad, they have shut down production of Bride of Frankenstein. It is not going to be done. But what's weird is, the movie flopped in the United States, but you know The Mummy made $400 million worldwide? It blew Tom Cruise. I think that was the biggest reason.
Tom Cruise, internet, not free of speech.
Yeah, not being able to see the Rotten Tomato reviews of it first. But yeah, so they've already decided to go ahead and shut down the Bride of Frankenstein, so we'll see if they...
To be fair...
Change it to a different one.
To be fair, I never read anything about Bride of Frankenstein, but... Shane Glasgow, on the phone with him, the guy who owns Kingwood Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about sponsorship for the Halloween show, and we were just chatting. I was like, he's like, what's your goal here? I was like, dude, I just want to get, like, Texas Frightmare... an analog to Texas Frightmare here in Houston. Or maybe even not Frightmare, maybe split Frightmare in half and then have a spring and a fall event. Like, but I want to have something similar in Houston. And he's like, oh, you know, that's awesome. And he's like, what you need to do? And he wasn't giving me advice on, like, how to hire vendors or any of that. He was just talking as a haunter to somebody trying to break into this field locally. Right. He's like, you need to stick with your thing. He's like, I've been looking at your media. He says you're family friendly. You're very, like, universal monster type. He's like, you need to either stick with that, but stick with monsters. Don't get wrapped up in TNA. He's like, that's what's happened to so many of these places, and they just can't. It's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get sexualized, and don't try to be the sexy costume guy. He's like, stick with your monsters, stick with your scare, stick with your fog machines and your haunt. And I'm like, dude, I agree. Because, like, my wife is a knockout. Like, I'm all about TNA. But there needs not be a sexy Bride of Frankenstein.
Right.
Like, right? It's like, she's a reanimated corpse, too. Her story is tragic.
Yeah.
I can imagine that was very Laura Croft.
But they were looking at Angelina Jolie to play the Bride of Frankenstein.
Exactly. And I never even read anything on it. This is just my kind of, like, if you're getting Tom Cruise to play the mummy or in, like then you're trying to make it sexy. Sex it up, and you look at something like the Creature from the Black Lagoon, right? Okay, the girl in Creature from the Black Lagoon is sexy. She's also not the monster, right?
Right.
Like, you can't sexualize the monster. You can't, I don't know. Anyway, I'm glad they kind of kiboshed that. Maybe they'll get their heads out of their asses and go back and
keep it pure.
Yeah,
understand. Understand.
You can totally retell the story. Don't try to sex it up.
Right.
Just don't try to action adventure it up. Don't Top Gun out Frankenstein.
Don't over CGI and everything else.
Yeah. Just tell a good story, and we'll go see it.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the footage by now of Marilyn Manson getting smashed by the pistol props.
I haven't watched the video. I've heard about it. I heard he got hurt.
In the middle of Sweet Dreams, it was some heavy stuff. I mean, it was essentially scaffolding holding up these pistol props that fell right on top of him. Mm-hmm. He's not a spring chicken anymore, you know? Ended up being hospitalized. I'm still not sure of the extent of his injuries.
They had to cancel his tour.
He had to cancel his tour, yeah. Yeah, so it was pretty significant if he canceled his tour. Yeah. Apparently, that New York show was going great and everything. And we were talking about Raimi, one of the Raimi brothers, well, one of their high school buddies, Mr. Bruce Campbell. He did an interview recently for Rotten Tomatoes, and he talked about his five favorite horror movies of all time. I thought it was a fairly interesting list. Number five, Night of the Living Dead. Ranks it up there pretty high. Texas Chainsaw Massacre would fall next. After that, The Exorcist. Sixth Sense, after that. He's a big fan of Sixth Sense. The one that I found most interesting is his number one favorite horror movie of all time. It's Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Really?
Because as he put it, an early example of combining horror and comedy, which is a delicate balance. It's funny, silly romp. Who says you can't do slapstick with a monster? This movie is also an interesting example of early cross-ploitation, where a studio takes two popular movie personalities and puts them together. Frankenstein and Abbott and Costello.
Jason and Freddy.
When you think about Bruce Campbell and his craft, you know, with Ash vs. Evil Dead, with the Evil Dead franchise, Army of Darkness, he does a great job of mixing comedy with horror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and apparently he's a real big fan of that particular movie. But I thought it was pretty cool. All right. Leatherface is out right now. As you know, I need to see it. I haven't seen it yet. But I found one on my list of 10 things you might not know about Leatherface, which I found was pretty interesting. First off, Gunnar Hansen was integral in the creation of Leatherface. Though the character was created by Kim Hinkle and Toby Hooper, the director allowed Hansen to develop aspects of his personality. It was Hansen's idea to make Leatherface mute and mentally challenged. So he was a big part of just the persona, what became of Leatherface, you know, mm-hmm. is where it came from. You know what some similarities are between Leatherface and Jason Voorhees? One of the big ones. One of our favorites, Kane Hodder. He's associated with both. He actually did stunts for Leatherface during Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
Oh, wow.
He was a Leatherface stuntman, which I found was pretty interesting. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, do you know what the title almost was originally? Head Cheese.
Wow.
It was almost called Head Cheese. That would have been a totally different movie. 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. Do you know who almost played Leatherface? This is going to trip you out. Dolph Lundgren was almost cast as Leatherface in that particular remake. He must have been hurting for work. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre house is now a restaurant. A lot of people don't realize. You can visit it and grab a bite there. Leatherface's real name has never been firmly established. He's been referred to as Tom and Jedediah, and his last name has been changed from Sawyer to Hewitt. You know, some of the remakes, they were the Hewitt family. Best we just refer to him as Bubba, because he was called Bubba a couple times by the patriarch of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. While many horror villains claim inspiration from Ed Gein, Leatherface and his house are the most historically accurate to actual story of Ed Gein, which is when you see, based on a true story, at the beginning of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they're referring to the Ed Gein story.
Mm-hmm. But that was in Michigan, right? Or Wisconsin?
Yes, yeah.
Not Texas. And not a whole family.
In Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, Leatherface has a daughter. I'm not sure if you knew that. He has a daughter in that particular movie referred to as Little Girl Sawyer. That's all we know about her. And that's the only place that it's been. Okay, and very interesting, Toby Hooper claims Leatherface is meant as a metaphor for the Vietnam War. It reflects what he perceived as an overall decline in humanity in the 1970s. which I've never found any kind of political meaning behind Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But
yeah,
Tobe Hooper apparently wanted it to be there and meant for it to be.
There's... It's one of those things, like, you and I don't talk... Every now and then you'll get me on a tangent where I'll talk about my opinion on a political movement. But the reason we don't talk about politics so much is because literally everything can be turned political.
Right.
It's like, you've seen those posts on Facebook where somebody's like, here's a white blank page. You can't argue about this. And you'll have somebody be like, oh, you're just putting it up there because you don't want to argue about gay rights and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, first of all, it was a joke. And second of all, you've just proven me wrong that you're able to argue about a stick.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay.
There's nothing there. You're able to find it.
Right. So, you know, things like Invasion of the Body Snatchers are very much about, you know, McCarthyism and, you know, the communist scourge in the 1950s. I don't know, man. That's weird because even though Tobe Hooper, you know, Poltergeist and takes Chainsaw Massacre, it's that weird thing of, like, when you see in something like Forgetting Sarah Marshall where she's like, you got a tattoo. He's like, it's a metaphor. He's like... What is a mobile phone a metaphor for?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
people try to find it wherever they can, man.
They can. Hey, more power to them.
Yeah. Well, that's it for my new business tonight.
All right.
It's safety glasses out here.
All right. So, like we said at the top of the show, if you are not from where we're from, let's explain it to you. Scott here is from Louisiana. Louisiana, if you look at the United States on a map, it looks kind of like a boot. And it's really, well, I'd say relatively small. If you're up in the Northeast somewhere, you'd be like, whoa, that place is huge. But compared to Texas, it's tiny.
Yes.
And it's mostly swamps, alligators, bridges, and voodoo.
Yeah. Low sea levels.
It's moist. It's very moist, and it's very hot, and it's very haunted. And it's quite, I wouldn't say evil, but there's a lot of evil.
Mysterious, spiritual.
It's spiritual, mysterious, and quite evil. There's been a lot of evil shit happening in New Orleans. And in Louisiana in general. Kick it out over here just a little bit west, just by like what, like 4 or 5 hours
drive.
We're still wet and moist over here, and then like about an hour west of here it gets really dry and you're in scrub desert. And you're in scrub desert till you hit California, like straight up, like the Wile E. Coyote. It's literally only like 3 or 4 hours from here. And it just stays that way until you hit the Pacific Ocean. It's hot and it's humid and it's miserable. And you don't think of, like, well, you think about it. You see Christmas and TV specials about snow and changing leaves and cold air and snowmen and hot chocolate. These are the sorts of things that we dream about, but we've never actually experienced.
Right.
It's a wonderful fantasy.
We've experienced it, but the snow we've experienced is not snow.
No. So we see our friends on social media posting pictures of leaves and hot chocolate and wearing socks.
Building snowmen and they don't have leaves all over them.
I'll say things like socks and pants, but like literally... pants, like going to the, like blue jeans and socks and shoes, and we're like, how could you possibly stand
it's
that?
It's too damn hot.
Even if you're wearing a t-shirt with those, it's too damn hot to operate like that. So we're out in the front yard putting our yard decorations together in like 90 degree temperatures, And you have to wonder, like, man, I wouldn't do that. That feels pretty tropical. Would you start putting out your Halloween decorations? So for those of you from up north who have burning leaves and that sort of stuff, go on and do it. We're going to talk about what keeps us motivated, the kind of music and movies we listen to.
You
got to
find it somewhere.
That keep us believing that someday the Great Pumpkin will actually land here. So we didn't make any lists. It's more or less just kind of like, oh, because last year's list won't work this year.
Right.
Because last year's list might make us be like, dude, that was too damn hot. I was listening to that band, and now all I do is sweat when I think of them. So what are some of your traditions? What gets you in that early fall mood?
Well, it gets me in the mood for Halloween in general. And this is going to sound like a Rob Zombie episode, but the song Red Hot Pussy Liquor by Rob Zombie is just, that is the Halloween mood song for me. Movie-wise, House of a Thousand Corpses, because it's set for Halloween. The Firefly family, they celebrate their own version of Halloween. That just always kicks it off for me. Always.
See, for me, and I know, well, we're talking about memories and motivation. Every time I hear that Peanuts...
Yeah.
That... I don't care if it's in the middle of summertime. I don't care if it's in freaking, like, March. I'm automatically, like, thrown into Halloween. And I live in Halloween a lot, so sometimes I just play that song just to get myself in that mood.
Well, once I see the Halloween candy coming up at the drugstores, you know, start seeing the first bag of candy corn, I see it's time.
Absolutely. Well, and we've been working on the Halloween show. We've been working on the Scary Dad show for a year. So every week, regardless, we're sitting there, looking at something scary, or at least tangentially scary, to talk about, not necessarily Halloween. But the Halloween show, we started planning in June. So I'm like, hey, everybody who does Halloween stuff, you need to start getting your ish together so that we can have a show in October. So that's been keeping me motivated.
Right.
I got to tell you, though, one of the things that pretty much year-round, and it's not a band that I listen to a lot in general, but there are a few songs by Smashing Pumpkins. Mm-hmm. And, yes, of course, you know, the name Smashing Pumpkins obviously is harkens back. But I remember the first time I actually was exposed to or knew who they were was kind of in the fall. I was in high school, and it was kind of that grunge period, like, I guess, 92, 93. Yep. And somebody had the Smashing Pumpkins record, CD, tape. We throw back that far. And I remember there was a cool, crisp, like, bite in the air. It was still, like, 85 degrees, but you could just smell that norther was coming. Mm-hmm. It was going to get cool eventually. And I was hanging out with my buddies Jason and Chris, and that Cherub Rock,
yeah,
Smashing Pumpkins song came on, and I didn't really associate the two at the time. I was just like, oh, that's cool. But then later on and through the years, whenever I hear that song, I'm automatically kind of thrown into, like, Halloween mood. It kind of gets that same, like, Charlie Brown feeling of, like, oh, it's time to start throwing out your decorations. you gotta find the Halloween store. It's time to smell the latex.
Well, that's the other thing. Start seeing the Halloween stores pop up. And since they first opened up, I've been hitting them up, just checking out all the new goodies they have this year. And, like, by the time this airs, my daughter has been wearing her Halloween costume for over a month. Because she fell in love with the jacket that it came with, and she wears it when we go to the store. She just loves that thing.
For me, you know, in Houston, it gets, like, 100 degrees, and it stays 100 degrees for, like, days and days and days.
Thanksgiving, it'll be hot.
Yeah. For me, it's when you walk into Walgreens and start seeing orange.
Yep.
You're like, ah, there's gonna be a break to this heat.
You start seeing a little overpriced decorations at You gotta wait for them to go on 50% clearance to be able to pick any of them.
The day after Halloween is pretty awesome. Yeah. 3 days after Halloween, when they get 90% off, it's like, ooh.
That's how I secured that Jason. I hit up a, it was a Halloween Express. No, the day after Halloween. I got there just at the right time where nobody had snagged it yet. And it was like 60% off, if I'm not mistaken, man.
That's a lot for a couple $100 unit.
Oh, yeah. $300 regular price.
It's a cool Jason. I remember the first time I ever saw, again, this is a throwback to back when MTV actually showed videos, and it was fall, and I was at my friend Jason's house, and we were sitting around drinking beer. I think we were drinking Red Dog. Remember Red Dog?
Yeah, I do. Oh, God. Yeah, there was actually a college bar near where I bounced at in college called the Red Dog. Red Dog. They always had the Red Dog special over
there. I think you could actually still buy Red Dog, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but we were sitting around drinking Red Dog, and MTV, either Headbangers Ball or 120 Minutes, showed a video by a band called Typo Negative. Okay. And that was Black Number One. That doom doom.
They had the big tall singer, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing him in concert at Taylor's Plaza in Lafayette.
Wow.
And he was a monster, dude.
He was. And it was funny because I saw him with Pantera. And they opened for Pantera here at Lakewood Church.
Okay.
Lakewood Church, which is now famous for not opening their doors to Harvey victims.
It was flooded.
And whenever they did open the doors for Harvey victims, they passed around the offering plate. Like, oh my God. Guys, come on. You can't make that up.
But the thing about it is, I wouldn't expect anything less from them. That's what I would expect them to do.
Not me. I would expect, we're already in a PR nightmare. Let's leave those buckets in the back room.
I've actually been to, I'll never forget, my ex-mother-in-law got me and my ex-wife to go with her to a new church she had started going to. And we're sitting in the back row, and I'm listening to this man, and he was pure evangelist. He actually started saying, if God wants me to have a big fancy house, he wants you to provide it for him.
Oh, really?
And he's like, this dude did not just say that. And he's going through all this as he's passing the collection plates. If God wants me to have a fancy automobile, he wants you to provide it for me. And I'm like, why are we here?
See, I know, like, whenever I was a kid, lived growing up here, Joel Osteen is the pastor of Lakewood Church. His father was named John, and Lakewood Church was actually in Lakewood, like down south from here. And it was a big church then, but Joel turned it into the mega church that it is today. But back then, the venue that they're now using, I saw Marilyn Manson there, saw Nine Inch Nails there, I saw Pantera there a couple of times, Typo Negative, Jim Rose Circus Sideshow.
That's good bones there, man.
Sepultura I saw there. Saw, like, dude.
Sepultura. God, the album they made whenever they came back from South America. They did, like,
the Roots.
The Roots. Bloody Roots. Man, that album was just exceptional.
That was the album that I was like, man, this guy's, like, screaming too hard.
They were Korn before Korn was Korn.
Dude, they were rough. I love Sepultura.
Oh, me too. Me too.
But, yeah, when Roots came out, I was like, dude.
Roots,
he doesn't have the voice for this. It's like his voice, but he's straining his own voice trying to be himself. Like, ah.
But the beats, just combining those jungle.
Oh, dude, it was great.
Drums with everything else was just, it was exceptional.
It was absolutely great. Yeah, I saw them in Lakewood Church. And, like, they had to, like, I want to say they walked around burning some sage in that place, trying to get rid of the juju that had been floating around in there. Not to mention all the people cussing because the Rockets wouldn't win. I mean, come on. But
they turned that around eventually, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, they won their championships right in there. So, you know, but...
And now it's a mega church making tons of money.
But, yeah, that was the thing. It was like, dude, you can't pass away around the offering plate. not to your parishioners. Not passing them around and being like, hey, guys, we really need to pony up and help these people. No, the people who need help...
they're passing the plate right to them.
Like, hey guys, y'all need to help us, help you, help us. put an extra wing on my house. Rough.
You know, when that thing that came out with his wife saying whatever to some flight attendant, like, do you know who I am? I could imagine that happening in a heartbeat.
Well, dude, and I can't... Like, I'm not a very religious person, but I know enough about it to know certain things, right? And his wife, Victoria, got in trouble because she's on stage in front of all these people who are like, God doesn't want you to be a good person for him. He wants you to do it for yourself. It's like, it's all selfish motivation. It's all... It's not... It's not Jesus washing the feet of his own disciples to be like, no, we're all in this together. We're all equals. I'm just as good as you are. I'm merely a man.
Right.
No, it's like, it's, I don't even want to go into it. It's just, it's all selfishly motivated and it's just bizarre. And
it goes with the territory.
I don't.
Remember Tammy Faye Baker with that mask she would wear all the time? But that whole thing gave us Jessica Hahn, which was a nice thing to have.
No, yeah. Well, and I was talking about Typo Negative. What I was saying is I saw Typo Negative in Lakewood Church, and it was funny because he had, like, if you don't play guitars and you're not familiar with how this works, the guitar player, in addition to the guitar strapped over his shoulder, has a bunch of foot pedals, and they affect the sound.
Yeah.
Of the guitar, depending on the song and kind of what's going on. Sometimes they tune it down, sometimes they tune it up. You hear Jimi Hendrix play with that. That's a wah pedal. He's controlling that. That's not in the producer's realm. Right. He's doing that himself. Peter Steele from Typo Negative had a foot pedal that whenever he pressed on it, it flashed lights on him and blew his hair. And he'd be like, oh. And he'd throw his head back, and then a fan would blow his hair, and he'd show his teeth, and he had, like, fangs. It was just hilarious. It was like, dude, you're so awesome. But you're, like, highlighting yourself, like, here's a point at which I'm going to press the button and look dramatic. It was just like, oh, this is so perfect. I love Typo Negative.
Oh, yeah,
Peter Steele died of a heart attack way too young. He died at, like, 48 years old. It's just... miss him all the time.
Just you brought that up, we failed to mention Tom Petty.
Yes.
He died too young.
He did.
Tom Petty just had some great. Every time I hear American Girl, I just think of Fast Times at Ridgemont High immediately.
I think of Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. But Tom Petty, he was just an amazing artist. The Heartbreakers had so many big hits.
He had so many big hits. And he was just a funny guy.
Right.
Like, he was just charismatic and, like, a guy of his caliber, like, just rock and roll to the core, and he's always serious. And then he took on the role of Lucky on King of the Hill,
mm-hmm.
where he's, like, got he's not disguising his voice. He's not doing a voice. It's just his voice where he's like, I slipped in some pee-pee down at the Megalomart. I got $40,000 and I never have to work again. He's got the big-ass truck and he's got Luann and his sitting co-pilot. And he's just like on top of the world.
Oh, Tom Petty. Let's do a little toast to him.
Let's do a toast to Tom. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Wildflowers first came out, and I was a metal head. I was deep into heavy metal.
Couldn't help but like it.
Dude, it was beautiful. You just sit there and listen to it, like that opening track. You Belong Among the Wildflowers,
mm-hmm.
and then It's Good to Be King, and so many great songs. Even when he's just like, you're my honeybee. It's just like,
very unique talent. Set himself apart from a lot of people.
Absolutely. He got compared to Bob Dylan a lot.
Yeah. The same type of voice, same connotation and everything, but he was his own man.
He had a similar cadence. He could sing a lot better than Bob Dylan could.
Oh, yeah. And the songs were a lot peppier and fun. I can't handle too much Bob Dylan at one time. Got friends of mine that love him to death, but he...
I saw Bob Dylan in the Astrodome, right, like the year before they closed it. Friend of mine was like, hey, you want to go see Bob Dylan? We went and watched it, and I was just like, this is horrible.
Well, you know, funny story about Bob Dylan. You've heard of the Bare Naked Ladies, of course. Mm-hmm. They actually came up with their band name because they were at a Bob Dylan concert, and they were so bored. The two frontmen, I can't remember their names right now, the two frontmen that started Bare Naked Ladies, they started making a joke, like pretending they were announcing the opening band, and they were just coming up with the most outlandish names possible, and one of them came up with the Bare Naked Ladies, and the rest is history. But the band name came up because they were bored at a Bob Dylan concert.
I believe it, because that was just like, it was like almost like they wheeled him up. Kind of like he was the Frankenstein. He's like, he's just like, his guitar's obviously not plugged in, and he's not moving his hands the way like the chords should go. It's just like, oh my God. Well, that's a nice tangent. We've gone from Smashing Pumpkins to
boring Bob Dylan concerts.
Boring Bob Dylan concerts. Really and truly, Rob Zombie keeps me motivated a lot.
Yeah. I got tons of Halloween memories, man. I've been going to Halloween parties for so long. We used to have some huge... There was a club in Louisiana called the Kingfish, which was one of those after-hours clubs where some people may have been partaking in ecstasy every once in a while. But even when it shut down, they would open every year for Halloween, and it was the most amazing thing because you'd see buses coming from Texas, these Greyhound style buses, just bringing tons of people over for this one time a year where everybody would let loose for Halloween. And Halloween's just a fun holiday. I mean, it's fun for kids, it's fun for adults.
Well, and somebody, I probably mentioned this on the show before, but somebody pointed out, it's like, well, all the other holidays, with maybe the exception of St. Patrick's Day, but like, Valentine's Day, that's significant other. It's purpose-built. And then, you know, you got Thanksgiving, that's family, and then Christmas is family. Halloween is just for everybody to just cut loose.
Right.
Just for, you know, like, old Toys R Us, where a kid can be a kid. You know, I'm 42 years old, and, like, people probably think I'm the most immature person in the world. Hey, you know what? Thank you. It's a compliment. it's just one of those things where I just enjoy it so much.
I have been dressing up with my kids to go trick-or-treating for 18 years now. Every year for 18 years, I have put on a costume to go trick-or-treating with my kids.
Absolutely.
I just love it, man. And I love that they love it. They're so into it. My son is 18 years old right now, and he's planning on dressing up too with his sister and me to go trick-or-treating. He's not gonna go to the door, but we're all gonna get in costume and go walk the streets.
I'm glad that it got taken back for a while there. It seemed to be kind of waning off when I was in like high school and just out. More and more people turned off their porch lights. I saw more, you know, people were scared of, right, like this or that or whatever, and like it took, I don't want to say people like me because I was inspired by others, but when I moved in here, I put up my decorations, nobody else did, like whatever. Then all the neighbors are like, whoa, you got decorations. So the next year you saw a little bit here, a little bit there, and now everybody enjoys the fun.
See, me and my old neighbor, we got to the point where he would get so aggravated with how much stuff, because I live on the corner lot. I had a huge yard. I could just decorate. I had a graveyard over here. I had the insane medical place over here. You know, it just went all the way around the corner. He decided to step up his game, and it was a competition every year. And it was so funny because it got to the point where we would put out like everything we had the year before. And then the week before Halloween, that's when we'd bring all the new stuff out. And we each got to the point where we'd wait later and later to try to outdo each other. So it got to the point where I put my new stuff out Halloween day. I'd get off work early and I'd throw all my good stuff out. And just because it was a huge competition. So then we decided, let's go ahead and make some tracks going across the crosswalk, like bloody footprints, and we could connect our 2 yards that way and really, really step it up.
Make a big one.
And my favorite thing he would do is he had this, because we both had, you know, life-size mannequins and different things. I had my Jason. I had all kinds of stuff in the yard. And he would set up this Jason with a hockey mask sitting on a chair by his front door. And Halloween night, he would put the costume on. And he'd take the place of the mannequin that was in the chair. And he would get people every year with that thing, man. It was like clockwork. And we used to measure the success of our yards by how much candy was on the ground, because we would scare kids so bad they would actually drop their candy and leave it. You know a kid's scared if he's forgetting about his candy and take it off.
Juliet wouldn't do that. She'd be over there like chomping down, like, I'm eating this candy. Yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm not waiting. I'm enjoying my kids being small. But the scare factor. I can't do the scare factor. So I'm enjoying kind of going back through the Charlie Brown Christmas and, or, you know, Great Pumpkin, and we're not quite as scary and this and that, but every year it's just getting a little bit closer to, like, we can actually start, because I want to corpseify some skeletons.
Okay.
Really kind of get with it. It's coming. It's not here yet. Well, it's like with the Halloween show. We started off being like, let's do a horror movie marathon. We'll do Halloween and Friday the 13th. And no, we ended up having to do like Hocus Pocus and Beetlejuice. And that's fine.
We'll step it up eventually, but we want to make sure the kids are able to have a good time too.
Exactly. Next year, 2 movie rooms. The G-rated and the R-rated.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
So what's some other music, man? Some other movies. Like, I watched Friday the 13th Part 6 the other night.
Uh-huh. Jason Lives.
I need to find it on VHS. The DVD transfer just does not do it for those slashers. It's... Now, to be fair, Part 6 is not, again, scary is scary, but Part 6 is not a very scary one of the Friday the 13ths, but it's also taken away from by the fact that everything looks like prop sets on a play.
Yeah.
It looks more like you're watching Friday the 13th Part 6, the play, than you are watching the movie, because it's too well lit, everything's too well defined, you know, it's too easy to pick out what's lurking in the forest, and
right.
His makeup looks a little bit fake, which I'm sure it looked a little bit fake too, but just out of curiosity, because I've got a VHS, the only VHS of Friday the 13th I have is Part 5.
Okay.
I just finished watching Part 6, and out of curiosity, I threw Part 5 in, because I've got a VHS player, and it looks like a horror movie should.
Right.
It doesn't have the sharp, well-defined edges on everything. I need to find them on VHS. I need to preserve them.
I like VHS, man. I like watching a lot of those old classic movies on VHS. It just seems more pure that way. It reminds me of the way it was when I was a kid.
Right. And then, well, the transfers were whenever they went through and digitally enhanced things to make it look better, they shouldn't have done that.
Right. It takes away from it.
They should have taken a digital camera and filmed the VHS version and thrown it up on the screen.
Right.
And not try to clean up and sharpen things.
Need a clip? Need a hemostat?
Yeah. Well, try not to waste it for that last little bit there.
But just there's so many things. I think about Halloween a lot. I mean, the kids are the main reason that I think about it, because they start talking about it early. My daughter loves dressing up. She wants to start doing cosplay. You know, and I'm so glad that they enjoy Halloween so much.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, when I was a kid, it got to the point where I got too old for it and didn't dress up for a long time. And it wasn't until I became an adult that I realized you could still have fun with Halloween.
See, I've been fortunate. Like, there were... My life path went from, like, right about the time where I would have stopped dressing up was right about the time where my mom's like, take your sister trick-or-treating. So I had to find something.
Right.
And so I still was able to play. Then as she got older and she started having friends and I had friends and we didn't run in circles because she's 6 years younger than me. We didn't run in the same circles, but it was like we were out doing our thing and then we'd catch up with them later. Like we'd come home or I'd swing by or whatever. And she and her friends were like, hey, it's, you know, Halloween, maybe not Halloween night, but Halloween time. And everybody would just sit around and talk about it and stuff. So it was. Then as I got older, you don't lose Halloween whenever you work in bars,
right?
Because that's amateur night.
Yeah, they come, a big thing on a bar scene.
Yeah, and then you know whenever I back whenever I worked for the event company, I just knew everybody, so I didn't have to have plans. I just go out. People are like, hey, say trick or treat. I'd be like, trick or treat. They're like, Jello shot. Sweet. And these are not the words of a happily married man, but there's just nothing like going out being not yourself and meeting somebody else who's not their self and being not yourself together.
Just go on with it. When in Rome.
And you're like, all right, well, that was a successful evening.
Freddy Krueger is also big. Nightmare on Elm Street series. I always like watching that around Halloween time, too. I think it's because it was just such a popular costume to this day. Think about how long ago Nightmare on Elm Street franchise started. And to this day... all kids know who Freddy Krueger is, even right. though they've probably never seen the movie before. They don't even realize it's a movie, you know?
Did you see that thing my sister posted on our website?
Which one?
It was the Freddy Krueger glove.
Yeah. I was thinking...
It was like somebody turned this in England, and it was like all these people were like, OMG.
They sell the same glove on the Toys R Us website. It's on sale right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, and I answered her post. I was like, dude, people in England are weenies. I was like, those knives can't be sharpened. They're bendable. They're right. metal in the most vague terms that you could define metal as.
Now, there are some pretty impressive replicas you can buy, but those were the standard movie replicas that you get, like I said, at Toys R Us for $70.
Well, it's not real hard.
No.
If you've got...
It'll make noise if you click the fingers together.
Yeah, if you've got some tin snips and a glove and some steak knives...
You can make it.
You can make one of those in an afternoon easily. Whoever dumped that, because you know in England, like they've got like mailboxes, like donation boxes, like dump your knife in here because
that's the big thing there. It's knives.
Yeah, because they ban guns.
No guns, so
everybody uses knives. So they're like, here, if be interested, if somebody goes and just like guts some old lady and then goes and drops the knife in the mailbox.
Can't ask questions.
Yeah. No questions asked. It says it right there on the box. They pull it out. They're like, oh, this is the knife murderer who we've been searching for.
That's what kills me about people that talk gun bans. Bad people are going to find a way to hurt people one way or another.
Always. The current situation notwithstanding, I have not engaged in any of that because... I understand people get scared and people have opinions. Mm-hmm. I'm not scared and I have opinions as well. Not going to lose friends over it. So I just don't...
Right, just ignore, just avoid it.
I just avoid it.
I see it, I read it, but I don't comment on anything. Some people feel the need to, for whatever reason. You don't have to comment on it.
Yeah, you're going to avoid the bait.
Because the thing about it is, you're not going to sway anybody that's not of your opinion.
Mm-mm.
So just avoid it. That's why I don't talk religion with my sister. I just avoid it.
Certain things are just... Say like, well, we should close that out with going and hitting a Ouija board real quick and seeing what we can conjure. But, you're born dying. You're going to go out some way or another. It sucks.
Yeah.
But you can't ban everything. Because at the end of the day, you could just ban death altogether. You'd just be like, okay, well, no more births. And just give it back to the critters.
Right, but the thing about it is, like I said, my ex-roommate had the copy of the Anarchist Cookbook. You can find ways to hurt people very, very easily. I learned how to make napalm when I was in middle school. Styrofoam and gasoline. Stuff would burn for hours, dude.
Yeah.
You know, there's, unfortunately, it's bad people will find ways to do stuff. You can't live your life worried about it.
No. Not at all. So we've got one more week till Halloween. We got the big party here. We had the big party last week. And then we got the big party here. Are you going
to
come over?
I'm going to try to. I'm definitely try to. I got a couple of... I got one other one I got to go to. And what I'm planning on doing is I got one to go to near downtown. And on the way back, I'm going to come and hit yours up. So I got to buy a costume this weekend. Man, I still have no idea what the hell I'm going to dress up as.
Yeah, I was digging through the box. I'm not sure either. I will have figured it out by last week's show.
You never watched Rick and Morty, have you?
I haven't.
I've been really, really leaning towards being Pickle Rick. Which
that's kind of like Harley Quinn and It.
Everybody's going to be Rick. Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. So I have no idea. I'm thinking about going old school. I was going to go through a bunch of my old just slasher movies and see who I could pick to be. But I don't. It's going to be too hot to wear a mask. So that's why I'm being real picky about which one I jump on.
I got the glasses this year. My thought was I was going to be Ghost Michael from Halloween. Just get the white sheet with the cutout eyes. But I can't run the event that way. Which, the event happened last week, so by this time, last week, this week, we will know who we were for Halloween. But this week, we don't know.
I have no idea.
So
I'm going to hit up some shops this weekend to see if I get some ideas and then put something together. You know, I'm still... But once again, you have a mask. You know, I've always wanted to be Potato Sack Jason.
But gotta have a mask.
Gotta wear a mask with one eye hole. You know? It really messes up your vision.
You could be Friday the 13th Part 6 Jason before he comes alive. And just be nothing but maggots. Just figure out a way to make them stick to you.
Just a little just squirmy things. Just use spirit gum.
Yeah.
Spirit gum and mealworms. Have you ever seen mealworms? People feed their lizards and stuff. Those will go crazy. Your face with a spirit gum. That might work.
That would be pretty gross. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid and Friday the 13th Part 6 came out, and that whole opening scene where he like stabs him. And I don't know why it never occurred to me. It's like, okay, as bad as Jason could possibly be, he's in a coffin under the ground. Like, he's trapped. There's no way he can get out of there unless some dumbass goes and lets him out.
Right.
And that's what you're trying to avoid, but that's exactly what you did. Like, the weird continuity with Friday the 13th is like, oh, you know, for 1 through 4, he was still at least alive.
Yeah.
He survived, which was unlikely, but
he never died. He never actually died.
He never actually died. And then whenever he actually died, then going to Part 6, and he's in the grave underground, he's getting eaten by worms. And then Tommy like digs him up and like reanimates him. That's the first.
And
like,
then zombie. We got zombie Jason.
We got now. Zombie Jason. Then.
Then we got astronaut Jason later on.
Yeah. Was that the last one? Was 10? Minus the remake?
Yeah, then they had the Freddy versus Jason, but yeah, that was the last one.
Freddy versus Jason, he decided to grow hair somehow.
Yeah. Freddy versus Jason was actually a pretty good movie. It was very well done. It's funny. They did a good job of mixing that Freddy humor with the world of Jason. You know? Because Jason just didn't care. He wasn't funny. Mm-hmm. He had his comic sidekick, Freddy, walking around, getting all the jokes and everything.
Well, and I've watched all of the Jasons, and it's just one of those, like... Somehow, in Freddy vs. Jason, the kids are all like, oh, he's just a misunderstood teenager. Like, he's like emo Jason in... It's like, no, dude, you go back and you watch 10 movies, except for 5. So 9 movies. He's not nice.
Right.
Ever.
He's a great white shark, just like Michael Myers.
He's never nice, not even once.
No empathy.
At all. And then they're like, oh, well, let's give him a personality. Let's give him a little bit of soul. Let's turn him into, like, the anti-hero. He's not an anti-hero.
No. He doesn't help anybody.
No. In part 6, there's, like, the one guy's got his machete, and Jason grabs him by the hand and flings him against the fence or against the tree and kills him. And then, like, looks and sees that he threw him so hard that he ripped his arm off. And so he peels the knife out of his hand and drops the arm. Like. No, he's not nice. He just...
He's on a mission to kill, and that's it.
Good stuff.
Like, just like Michael Myers.
That would have been a better matchup. Watching those two cut each other up.
Right. Well, apparently they did have a battle. I got to find that comic book series where they went at it against each other. But yeah, that would have been. Now, granted, because Freddy has a totally different personality, it made for, you know, a better contrast between the two. But as far as physical ability and fighting, yeah, that would have been the better matchup.
I think Jason would win.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's zombie Jason at this point.
So is Michael. At some point.
Now, yeah. Did you see that thing that Tony posted the other day about, I think there were about 20 different horror movie villains. And each one, it was the Purge horror villain edition. And they were asking which district would win. Pinhead would take everybody out. Pinhead, he can't be stopped. He just has to do this and hooks are coming to flay you.
Yeah. Every time Jason looks surprised by something, you're like, well, there goes Jason.
That's what I could do. I could do a Pinhead. That would be just difficult to pull off all day.
I've been working on this thing for hours, and I'm only like 3 square inches into it. Well, that's how we stay motivated. We watch horror movies. We listen to songs.
There's tons of songs that just bring up memories of Halloween. They're just making me feel just getting that horror mood. Rob Zombie, of course, is at the top of that list.
Rob Zombie makes you want to go back and watch old horror movies.
Yeah.
That's what's inspiring is Rob Zombie has his critics, but very, very few people take that pop culture phenomenon, which is comics, pulp fiction, old movies, and kind of mix them all together. All of these things are on their own not necessarily great art, uh-huh, but you put them together and they're Americana and they're compelling. Like you want to go see, like, well, I'll go watch a Russ Meyer movie any day. You want to go see like the angry big boobed women beat up on zombies and stuff. Like, That'll be fun to watch. So that's how we stay motivated. How do you stay motivated? You guys, we got one more week till Halloween. I'm not going to say that my decorations are near done. They're probably either done or I've taken them down and rearranged them a little bit. And I've still probably got some bins I haven't even pulled out of the attic yet. So let us know, how was the show? We haven't been there yet. You have been. So tell us how feedback. Give us some feedback. Tell us how that was.
What you want to see next year.
That's it. We love you. We're going to see you before Halloween. We've got one more show on the 30th, right before Halloween.
Yes. So we'll know where we're going to be by that time, too.
We will. So keep it scary, guys. We love you. See you next week.
Later.
I'm gonna break away a little bit.